May the Lord help us to commence this evening with hymn 293. Encompassed with clouds of distress, and tempted all hope to resign, I pant for the light of thy face, that I in thy beauty may shine. Disheartened with waiting so long, I sink at thy feet with my load. All plaintive I pour out my song, and stretch forth my hands unto God. 293.
Thank you. We will read together from God's holy word, the Gospel according to Luke, chapter 24. The Gospel according to Luke, chapter 24, and we'll begin reading at the 13th verse. Verse 13. And behold, two of them went that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 70 furlongs. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were holden, that they should not know him. And he said unto them, What manner of communications are these that ye have one to another, as ye walk and are sad? And the one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answering, said unto him, Art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem? And hast not known the things which are come to pass there in these days? And he said unto them, What things? And they said unto him, Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. But we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. And beside all this, today is the third day since these things were done. Yea, and certain women also of our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulchre. And when they found not his body, they came, saying that they had also seen a vision of angels, which said that he was alive. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulchre, and found it even so as the women had said, but him they saw not. Then he said unto them, O fools, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things, and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. And they drew nigh unto the village whither they went. And he made as though he would have gone further, but they constrained him, saying, Abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in to tarry with them. And it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took bread, and blessed it, and brake, and gave to them. And their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. And they said one to another, Did not our heart burn within us, while he talked with us by the way, and while he opened to us the scriptures? And they rose up the same hour, and returned to Jerusalem, and found the 11 gathered together, and them that were with them, saying, The Lord is risen indeed, and hath appeared to Simon. And they told what things were done in the way, and how he was known of them in breaking of bread. And as they thus spake, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them, and saith unto them, Peace be unto you. But they were terrified and affrighted, and supposed that they had seen a spirit. And he said unto them, Why are ye troubled? And why do thoughts arise in your hearts? Behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see, for a spirit hath not flesh and bones, as ye see me have. And when he had thus spoken, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they yet believed not for joy, and wondered, he said unto them, Have ye here any meat? And they gave him a piece of a broiled fish, and of an honeycomb. And he took it, and did eat before them. And he said unto them, These are the words which I spake unto you, while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses, and in the prophets, and in the Psalms, concerning me. Then opened he their understanding, that they might understand the Scriptures. And said unto them, Thus it is written, and thus it behoved Christ to suffer, and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remissions of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of these things. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. But tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. And he led them out as far as to Bethany. And he lifted up his hands and blessed them. And it came to pass, while he blessed them, he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. And they worshipped him, and returned to Jerusalem with great joy, and were continually in the temple, praising and blessing God. Amen. May God bless that reading of his holy word to us, and may he teach us how to pray. Most merciful, kind and gracious, and almighty Lord God in heaven, oh, do look down in love and mercy upon a group of poor sinners in Swavesey Chapel this evening. Lord, how we need thy mercy and thy favour this evening as we seek to worship thee. For then, Lord, thou knowest the evils that abound within our hearts. Thou knowest the enemy who would seek to disrupt. Thou knowest, Lord, how our thoughts are often snatched away. And those distractions, Lord, come in. The thoughts of last week and thoughts of next week and any thoughts other than those right thoughts. But, oh Lord, in the multitude of our thoughts within us, may we know those comforts that delight our souls. May we know thy word sealed into our hearts. Oh, we pray, Lord Jesus, that thou wilt fill this place with thy presence, that thou wilt rend the heavens and come down, that thy spirit may be poured out upon us, a spirit of grace and of supplications. For we read in thy word that where there is that spirit of grace and of supplications poured out, then they shall look upon me, whom they have pierced, and mourn for me. O Lord, how then we need thy gracious influence. Do then come, leaping upon the mountains, skipping upon the hills, come right where we are this night, and, oh, do wonderfully take away the distractions from us, and set our affections on things above, and lift us above the reach of inferior things. And may we have an hour in thy house, truly taken up with thee. Our hearts set at large, thy love poured in. O Lord, do open the windows of heaven, and shower down blessings that there may not be room enough to receive them. Lord, we plead thy gracious promises. And, O Lord, we pray, have mercy. Lord, we come as poor sinners. Our best is stained and dyed with sin. Now all is nothing worth. If there's anything good in us, Lord, we confess it's only there by thy grace. Oh, may there be those good things within each heart. May we know that gift, that good gift, thy Spirit working within. Oh Lord, we pray that thou would use and sanctify our lives to us, that we may be led and taught by thy Spirit. We may have those evidences of being numbered amongst thy children. Lord, we may know not just the consolations, but the corrections. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. Lord, then we would not seek to escape a father's rod. Oh, but Lord, we pray for submission under it. We pray that we may have humility and grace given by thee. But, O Lord, do not leave us to wander off, to stray into forbidden ways. Oh, but may there be that voice behind saying, this is the way, walk ye in it. So do show us that right way. Lead us onto that straight and narrow way that leads to eternal life. May we not be drawn aside into a bypass meadow, but may we walk following after thee, seeking to walk in thy commandments, seeking thy divine direction. Lord, we pray for that guidance. Oh, do be that good shepherd to us. And Lord, may we be found following after. We thank thee for the multitude of thy mercies. We thank thee for the blessings of this day. O risen Saviour, O Lord, how our hearts rejoiced as this day dawned this morning. The Saviour lives, no more to die. O Lord, we thank thee for this great wonder, this great blessing. May each of the friends who gather here know the power of thy resurrection in their hearts. May we know it in our hearts, Lord, raising us up from this sleep of death that this world would have us in, being raised up to a hope in thy beloved Son. Lord, we come then and would seek a spirit of confession of sin, that we may turn out the tents of our hearts at thy feet, those secret sins, those hidden things. O Lord, give us a spirit of confession, that we may pour it all out before thee, seeking to hold nothing back. For thou knowest, Lord, the very intents of our hearts. Oh, so, Lord, do help us. and pour out that spirit of confession upon us, that we may know that forgiveness. For if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. O Lord, then, do take that if and make it a when, and may that when be now, to truly confess our sin before thee and know forgiveness of those sins. We would not come in a legal way, but we would come resting on that doctrine, resting on what thou hast said in thy word. Thou art merciful, kind and gracious, long-suffering, plenteous in mercy and in truth. We plead that name which is above every name. Lord, we have so many things to thank thee for. Now, Lord, we have the blessings of this house. We have thy word. We meet undisturbed from the world around. We meet without fear of persecution. We have providential blessings more than we deserve. O Lord, do give us truly thankful hearts for all thy many mercies to us. We pray for those, Lord, who are not favoured as we are. We think of thy suffering people scattered abroad in the earth. Some, Lord, suffering persecution. Some with no place of worship. Some with none of thy word to read. O Lord, remember them. Be with them. Bless them. Uphold them. Lord, do spare us our liberties to worship freely in this land. We fear, Lord, what is to come. We look at the rise of the Antichrist. We look at the rise of Islam in this land. O Lord, in much wrath, remember mercy. Do make bare thy holy arm. Be that wall of fire round about thy people, and the glory in the midst. And do remember us, Lord, we pray, and bless us. And may it please thee to turn the tide of sin and iniquity in this land, and deliver us from the power of sin and Satan. And may it please thee to pour out thy spirit upon our churches up and down this land, that there may be a turning unto thee, a revival of thy work in our day. Lord, have mercy upon the rising generation. There are many things, Lord, to take them aside, many schemes and plans at Satan's disposal. Oh, do frustrate them. Lord, do help them. Do put thy fear in their hearts, that they may not depart from thee all the days of their lives. May there be those here of the younger generation who will be pillars in thy churches. Lord, do raise up godly men to preach thy word. Lord, do remember the church here below. And we pray for this particular cause here, that thou wilt favour them and bless them and continue to help them. And Lord, do gather in thy people into this place. And may there be that liberty granted, that souls may be constrained by thy love to take up their cross and follow thee. Lord, do have mercy upon us then, we pray. Be with us as we hope to gather round thy table at the close of this service. Oh, may it not, Lord, be a time of outward things. Oh, but may we know the substance of it in our hearts. Oh, may our hearts be touched. May we drop the soft tribute of a tear, for he shed many a tear for you. Oh, that our hard hearts might be moved in these on these occasions. Oh, that there may be a going out after thee. Oh, that thou wilt break the hard hearts and melt us with thy love, dying love. Oh, that is so attractive to thy people. So, Lord, do favour us with thy presence. Be present at our table, Lord. We ask, Lord, that thou wilt have mercy. Forgive us all that we ask amiss. Bless thy word to us, we pray. May we not leave it on the chapel doorstep. Oh, but may it find an abiding place in our hearts. For thou hast said, blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it. Oh, do keep it treasured up in our hearts. May it be made precious to us. May we feast on it, live on it for many days. Lord Jesus, have mercy, we pray. Send us not empty away, but fill us with that bread of life. Lead us to the fountain of living water, and satisfy thy poor with bread. We ask, Lord Jesus, that thou take away all our many sins. Wash us in the Redeemer's blood. Cleanse us from all sin and uncleanness. Oh, to present us faultless at thy feet in heaven above. We ask, Lord Jesus, in thy name. Amen.
Hymn 836. Believer, lift thy drooping head, thy Saviour has the victory gained. See all thy foes in triumph fled, and everlasting life obtained. 836.
Thank you.
Will you turn with me to the chapter we read, the Gospel according to Luke, chapter 24. And with the Lord's help this evening, I'll speak to you from verse 15. And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. The Gospel according to Luke, chapter 24, and the 15th verse. And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. It's quite clear from the various gospel accounts of the immediate aftermath of the death of the Lord Jesus that there was a lack of understanding of what had taken place. Though the Lord had spoken on numerous occasions concerning what must be accomplished, how he must go up to Jerusalem to suffer at the hands of men and to die and then be raised again, yet it would seem that their eyes, their understanding, their minds weren't understanding the true meaning of what he was saying. They had preconceived ideas of what was to take place, what he was speaking of, this establishing of his kingdom. That there was many thoughts going through the minds of his disciples. You only have to read Luke chapter 22 concerning the night in which he was betrayed, and you read of them bickering one with another, who would be the greatest among them. There seems this lack of understanding. We have the benefit, don't we? The blessings of living in a gospel day. We look back with, well, we have so many spiritual expositions of these passages of Scripture. We have the preaching of the gospel. We have a natural understanding. But, we need more than a natural understanding. Though you and I may understand naturally what took place, are we really believers on the Son of God? Do we know whom that we do believe? Who he is? Have we been brought to that point of calling upon him as sinners, needy sinners? Have we been found receiving of him? But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Maybe that sounds strange in your ear, to be a receiver. It doesn't mean you've got to do the receiving. But as a sinner at his feet, pleading for mercy, if you're not a receiver of something, what a sad place. To be receiving something from him at his feet as a sinner, a receiving of his word, receiving it in a heart made soft, made tender, a heart with faith mixed with that hearing that receives the word in its simplicity and believes on the Son of God to the saving of the soul. Then may you and I be found like these two on the road to Emmaus, receiving. They received this night. But, the Lord said, smite the shepherd and the sheep, the flock, will be scattered. And in this aftermath of the crucifixion of our Lord Jesus and his burial in the tomb, it would seem that there was a beginnings of a scattering of the flock. May we just pause for a moment and think about these things. You know, when the Lord Jesus is, if there's a removal of his influence from within a church, if the faithful preaching of the gospel is hindered in any way, how quickly there can be a scattering of the flock. What is needed for the flock of Christ in our day? Well, it's the risen Saviour. The preaching of the cross of Christ, the preaching of Christ crucified, Christ risen. It's a precious Christ lifted up and exalted. And it's the preaching of Christ and the following after him in love and a union in the church. Then there's no scattering of the flock. But, you know, here we have what seems to be the beginnings of the scattering of the flock. We have some of them joining together. You know, when there's a tragic event, maybe a family member passes away, you know, the family gather together, don't they? Sometimes there's a gathering point, maybe at their home or maybe at a relative's, and there's a gathering together. Thomas didn't gather with them. Thomas was not with them. Thomas was not numbered amongst them. It would appear that he was... Of an unbelieving heart. And these reports that he heard, that he's risen, that they've seen him, that they've met him, he dismissed them out of hand and he went his own way. 8 days later, before the Lord deals in love and mercy with him. And these two on the road to Emmaus, where were they going? The Lord said, I'll go before you into Galilee. There shall ye see me. And where were they heading to? They were travelling away from the Lord's little flock gathered in Jerusalem. They were fearful. They were tempted. They were buffeted. They were timid. And they were travelling away. They were leaving the Lord's people and journeying away. We don't know what they were going to Emmaus for. I'm not going to second guess it this evening. But we know one thing is, when the Lord showed himself to them, whatever hour of the night it was, they soon returned, didn't they? Soon returned to their rightful place, to be amongst their brethren. To share this news with them. But here we have this. It's a beautiful account. It's the Good Shepherd, isn't it? And he's mindful of his flock. And these two, on the road to Emmaus, going away from that little company, going away on their own, it would seem that they're cast down. They're troubled. Well, the Lord Jesus, he hears them. He hears them. They're communing together. And they're reasoning. They're talking over the things that have happened. And it's quite evident as he draws out from them. By his questions, he draws out from them what's troubling them. We trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. We trusted him. We believed in him. And now we can't see him. We're hearing this. We're hearing that. And all these things are troubling us. And a lot of the city were no doubt after looking out for his disciples, they were fearful of their own lives. And they were troubled by what had taken place. And certain women also of our company made us astonished which were early at the sepulchre. And when they found not his body, they came saying they had seen a vision of angels. And others had gone from their company, but him they saw not. Where was he? Where was his body? All these things troubling them. But beloved friends, is what mercy. And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near. Wonderful thing if the Lord sends one of his angels to comfort you, to strengthen you. He sent an angel into that garden to strengthen the Lord Jesus in his grapplings and wrestlings in Gethsemane. But you know, beloved friends, those that are brought with that desire, sir, we would see Jesus. The Lord has given you an appetite, a taste, a desire for him, a hungering after him. Nothing short of Christ will satisfy. He's given me Christ or else I die. And Mary, she saw that young man dressed in white sitting in that tomb, but it wasn't the Lord Jesus, and she wanted him. And his dead body, she wanted him. Give me Christ or else I die. Oh, that's a real religion, isn't it? That won't be satisfied with anything short of Christ. Is that your religion? Is it mine? Oh, you won't be satisfied except, you hear his voice. Oh, and more, you see his face. But it's give me Christ or else I die. Oh, give me the sense of his presence with me. If thy presence go not with me, carry us not up hence. The words of Moses, when the Lord threatened to withdraw his presence at the sins of the Israelites. And the Lord promised to fulfill his covenant promise, but would send an angel. He said, I'll send an angel to drive out the Canaanites and the Amorites and the Hittites, but I will not go with thee. And you know, it wouldn't do with Moses. He couldn't venture. He couldn't go forth. He couldn't take another step. Angel or no angel, he's give me Christ. Oh, I need the Lord to go on before. I need a felt sense of his presence. If thy presence go not with me, carry me, carry us not up hence. Lord, if I'm to lead this people, give me thy presence. Oh, if I'm to lead this people on, oh, I must have thy gracious presence. I must know, be persuaded that thou art with me. For if the way cannot be wrong, if Jesus be but there, you can rest there, can't you? Beloved friends, this evening, say, if I feel the Lord is certainly with me, then I can venture. That come what may, and you don't say it lightly, you say it with an understanding heart, but come what may, the Lord is with me, I know all will be well. Whatever he denies me, it must be right for me to go without. Whatever he supplies me, it must be right that I bear it. Whatever cross I'm to bear, it must be right he sees it's needful for me. Whatever thorn in the flesh I need, I'm better with it than without it. The Lord is with me. He's too wise to err, though too good to be unkind. This loving, sympathizing Saviour. Oh, it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near. Jesus himself. This is the risen Saviour, Jesus himself. Oh, this is the conqueror, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. Jesus himself condescends to go with these two on their journey. And he did it for their real good. He did it for his honour and his glory. He didn't do it at their request. He did it in love. He did it because he would, because it was necessary, it was needful for them. He did it in love to them. You know how undeserving we are. You know, sometimes when when trouble comes or things cross our pathways that we don't understand, and when we try and reason them out and we talk them over, you know, maybe you're not left to really murmur against them, but you question. You know, questions arise. Well, where's the good in this? How can this work together for my good? I can't see any good to come from this. And so you might go on with reasoning the Lord's dealings, reasoning why this has happened, maybe questioning whether it was necessary. He hears. That there's mercy in this. There's also a lesson, because yes, there was the consolation. Yes, there was the comfort. Yes, their hearts burned within them as he talked with them by the way. But he rebuked them. How often that the Lord mixed comfort with correction. How often in his teaching there is consolation and correction. You know, the Lord here, he takes them to point. Oh, fools, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? Fools and slow of heart to believe. And you know, when he came and stood in their midst, we read this morning in Mark's Gospel, he upbraided them for their unbelief, for disbelieving. Verse 11 in this chapter we read, and their words seemed to them as idle tales, and they believed not. You know, the Lord isn't pleased with unbelief, you know. It's not a mark of grace. Oh, may we not think unbelief is a mark of grace. May we not wear it as seemingly as a badge of honour. Questioning and doubting and fearing is not anything to be proud of, beloved friends. If you're a professing child of God, going round telling everybody how tempted and burdened and troubled and unbelieving you are, it's nothing to be proud of. Oh, it would be much better, wouldn't we, to fall at his feet with a repentant heart. Have mercy upon me, Lord, for questioning, for doubting, for disbelieving. You know, it's our sinful failings that question his word. You know, that the child who receives it in its simplicity, that's what we need to be like, receiving it as dear children. But you know, maybe not be found with this sin of unbelief. It's a most dreadful sin, and it creeps in subtly, and it presents itself in all different forms. You may think of Thomas as being an extreme case of it. except I put my finger into the hole, into those nail holes, and thrust my hand into thy side, I will not believe. You know, what he was basically saying, I won't believe whatever anyone tells me, except I see him for myself. You know, friends, that's a solemn and sad place to be in. And the Lord was not pleased with Thomas. Blessed are they that believe having not seen. You know, but it's our failing. It's our sin. May we not talk of it as though it's something to be proud of. This is not a mark of grace in any way. It's a dreadful sin. It questions Almighty God, his power, his word. And the Lord is not pleased. But the Lord is merciful. Let me just go back to this unbelief again. I wouldn't want you to misunderstand what I mean. A soul may be under the severe weight of a felt sense of unworthiness. He may be so pressed with a sense of his sins and his unworthiness to receive anything from the Lord that he almost questions whether he should receive. Now, he's not doubting the Lord's power to save. He's not doubting the Lord's word. What's he saying then? I'm not worthy. You know, I think there's a difference. I hope you understand me. There's unbelief, and then there's that deep sense of unworthiness, and how in and it's lack of faith, I suppose. But it's how can I comprehend? When I feel so unworthy, how can I comprehend that the Lord would have mercy on me? It's like, Lord, I believe, but I'm so wretched, I'm so sinful, I'm so unworthy, help thou mine unbelief. Well, I think there's a slight difference, but we leave that. But oh, these were receiving of the Lord's mercy. Though they reasoned, though they questioned, though they were troubled, oh, they received the consolation of God. For Jesus himself drew near. You know, they weren't deserving of his gracious presence. He drew near because he would, because he could. Because he wanted to show them. Because he wanted to reveal himself to them. Because he wanted to pour in more love into their hearts. It was needful for them. It was necessary for them. And Jesus himself drew near and went with them. And in all these things, in the withholding of himself from them, it's a mystery to us, but oh, it's quite clear They did not know who he was, but their eyes were holden that they should not know him. Oh, I wonder how many of us can now look back and see the Lord drawing near and going with us in our early days spiritually. And we couldn't trace him out. We couldn't see him. The Holy Spirit was working like the dew descending from heaven. It was imperceivable. You could see the effect, but you couldn't trace it out in the working of it. But then there was the gracious effect. Oh, it's like our eyes were holden, like Mary's. All the while, he's with us. He's right in front of us, but we can't see it. Oh, we long for that revelation. We long to know our sins are forgiven. They are forgiven, and we can't see it. Our eyes are holden. Well, the Lord, oh, he knows exactly what he's doing. He could have revealed himself the moment he drew near to them, but he didn't. But he was near them. He was near them. You know, those in that boat on that sea in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus saw them in the midst of the sea, toiling and rowing. And he sees you, poor trembling sinner, who are seeking to trace out a little of his work in your heart, who are longing for his presence to be known in your heart, who long to be able to claim him for your own, to have that assurance that he lived and died for you. He hears you. He sees you. You're toiling and you're rowing and you're struggling and you seem to take two steps forward and then you slide back. And, oh, what progress am I making spiritually? Am I making any progress? Is there any closing with the Saviour? I feel to be like that dove on the outside of the ark, struggling to enter in, knowing that I need to be in, feeling my only safety is in that ark, but I can't get in. I would be in. Oh, but you need that hand to reach out and to pull you into that ark. Oh, there's that Jesus himself. He's drawn near. How do you know it? Because you felt your heart burning. You burned in desire after him. You felt a warming. The name of Jesus is spoken of, and all your heart's lifted. Oh, you've come into the house of the Lord with burdens and pressing things, and for an hour they've all been forgotten, and you've been lifted above. Oh, you come into the house of the God, and oh, you're pressed down, and you're cast down, and you go out, and well, the problems are still there, but you're ever so slightly lifted. There's something's been done in the house of the Lord. Oh, you've got a warming to the Lord's people. We know we've passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. You say, yes, I feel that drawing to them. There's an attraction in them now. What's attractive? Not them. It's Christ in them. That's what's made them attractive to you. And you want to hear them talking. You want to be with them. But you're not at liberty to speak. Your tongue's tied. Why? You don't want to look presumptuous. You long to say something. But you can't. Jesus himself drew near. Oh, he'll draw it out of you, friend. What things? What things are troubling you? What things? Oh, this loving Jesus, this tender-hearted, sympathizing Saviour, what things? And they unbosomed all their concerns, outflooded all their troubles, and he listened, and he walked with them, and he listened. He knew exactly what the trouble was, but oh, it's like John's disciples, when they took up his body and buried it, they went and told Jesus. It's a wonderful thing, beloved friends, if you've had to go and tell Jesus something. You can't tell your mum and dad, you can't tell your husband, you can't tell your wife, but you've gone to tell Jesus. Why? Well, you felt a need to tell him. You felt a drawing to him. What a mercy. Friends, if the Lord Jesus draws near to us, you know, when he's not known in that nearness to us, but when we feel those effects of it. Oh, if you feel those effects, pray the Lord will reveal himself. You know, it's that desire as he walks with us in our journey. And as there's a communication with him, as he draws out things from us, and as we feel the effect of his word in us and in our hearts, there's that desire like they had. You know, they came to the end of their journey. They reached Emmaus. They were to turn into that place. And he made as if to go further. He made as if he was going to go on further. No intention of going any further. But what did he want from them? Had anything entered in? Had their hearts been touched? Or did they want to hear more? Abide with us. They constrained him. Beloved friends, these are sinners. These are trembling, fearful, tempted, burdened sinners that Jesus has drawn near, and Jesus has made himself precious to them in this little short journey, 5 or 6 miles, whatever it was. He's made himself desirable to them. They want more of his company. Abide with us. They constrained him, saying, "Abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent." Can't you come up with a better reason than that? Abide with us, Lord, for we want to hear more of this preaching. We want to hear more of thy word. We want to know more of thy presence. We want this visit to last longer. Oh, Lord, abide with us. They constrained him. The risen Saviour, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, and these two poor tremblers on that road to Emmaus, who had no right by nature, constrained the Son of God to tarry with them. And he went in to tarry with them. Friends, what a mercy. Oh, we see the gospel written over this, don't we? Two poor sinners constraining God's own Son to come and tarry with them. What a favour. Oh, what a favour. May a few be encouraged this evening to try what your poor prayers can do, poor trembling sinner this evening. Those feeble desires, those wishes so weak, 'tis Jesus inspires and bids thee still seek. His Spirit will cherish the life he first gave. You never shall perish while Jesus can save. Oh, he can be constrained even in our day. He can be constrained. Oh, he's that sympathizing, tender-hearted, loving Saviour, a friend of sinners. Oh, and he understands. He understands his people more than they understand themselves. And he went in to tarry with them. What was it for? Christ was made precious, but now Christ must be revealed. Oh, he was made precious to them in that journey. He had been precious to them before his death, but now Christ must be revealed, risen, Saviour, a Saviour living no more to die. A risen Saviour must be revealed. And he went in to tarry with them, with that purpose, to make known himself to them. And how was it that he did it? Well, it was in the breaking of bread. And as they and they told what things were done in the way, and how he was known of them in breaking of bread. I've often thought that as he broke that bread, they got a glimpse of those hands. You know, friends, what a thing to see. You know, your heart's burning within you. Oh, you're hearing his voice. Oh, your heart's warmed in love. There's something drawing you. But then, to see those hands, those nail-pierced hands, then is Christ revealed. You say, what was their complaint? They felt forsaken. They felt forgotten. Oh, can a woman forget her sucking child, that she shall not have compassion on the son of her womb? Yea, they may forget Yet will I not forget thee. Why? Behold, I've graven thee on the palm of my hands. Oh, to see those hands in the breaking of bread. Oh, they're unmistakable, friends. What a sight. You know, there's nothing like it. For a child of God by faith to see those nail-pierced hands, this was done for you. Jesus himself drew near and went with them. Well, I do hope and pray there were some here this evening with that desire that the Lord will draw near and go with you. You know, you've got your little life to live. You've got friends that hope to be married. Others who have recently married and setting out on their married lives. We've got others who have lived their married lives, and others who have journeyed on, maybe on their own. But whatever state or case your situation is, have you had that desire that the Lord will go with you in your journey? We're all on a journey, aren't we? Our lives are a journey, and we're journeying toward that day, that great day when we must stand before him. What a wonderful thing if you and I are journeying and the Lord is on that journey with us. Our desire, more than that, our need is that he's with us. In our lives, leading us, guiding us. You know, are there any here this evening? You say, we were talking one with another the other night, and it was, you come to the chapel the next day, and it's almost like the Lord was with you in the room the night before, listening to your conversation, and then the Lord has supplied a word on his day, and it's answered all those fears, all those concerns, all those perplexities in your life. It's like the Lord was sitting at your kitchen table one moment, and then in the house of God, he supplies it for you. You know, this is the Lord drawing near to his people. He still does. He's still drawing near to poor, unworthy sinners. Poor, unworthy sinners are still being brought to see a need of him, to feel a need of him, and to plead for his presence, to plead for his direction, to plead for that comfort, for that upholding, for that grace, to plead that he will go with them and abide with them. Not just now, but abide with us forever in all our journey. And that in this journey he may be leading us by the right hand to that city of habitation. And so what a mercy, what a favour if you and I are brought as these two on the road to Emmaus. You know, they were brought to receive from him. There was an effect in their heart. It stirred up a desire that he would abide, and in so constraining him, he abundantly granted them more than they can ask or think in revealing himself. He was preaching of himself to them, and that warmed their heart. How much more when he showed himself to them? Oh, you know, there was something to tell. This made them return. Oh, immediately. They rose up the same hour and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 gathered together. There's enabling grace. There's a love of Christ constraining. And the very stones will cry out with such wonderful news of a view of a risen Saviour. And you know, friends, once that view is granted, the desire is, Lord, visit me again. show thyself again. You know, it never, that will never, ever die out in the heart of his children. Though there may be many things that come in between, yet there's a spark of life. There's a desire in their heart. Oh Lord, visit again this soul of mine. Lord, say to my soul again, I am thy salvation. Lord, show me thy hands, thy feet, and thy side. And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. And what more could we ask for? Amen.
Last Lord's Day amounted to £770, for which we're very thankful. And God willing, Mr. Sayers is expected to preach on Tuesday and Mr. John Rosier next Lord's Day. The collections today are for famine relief in Africa. And our friends at Fen Stanton hope to hold their anniversary services on Saturday. Let us close with hymn 751. The Saviour lives no more to die. He lives the Lord enthroned on high. He lives triumphant o'er the grave. He lives eternally to save. 751.
Thank you.
Now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God the Father, and the fellowship and communion of the Holy Spirit rest and abide with us each, now and forevermore. Amen.